All right, we are live. Hello, hello, everyone. Whether you are watching in New York or Europe or Asia, wherever you're watching from, welcome to the Event Hustler Show. My name is Liz King Caruso. Very excited to be here with you guys yet again for an epic last episode of the season. We've never really had official seasons before, so this is like just me making it up. But this will be our last episode of the year. And so really excited to introduce Dan Ram and to chat with him about today's topic, which is super inspirational. I think this is the time of year when people like to think about all kinds of things. But first, hi, Dan Ram. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me. Final episode of the season. Come on.
It doesn't get better than that,
It did not.
right?
Thank you for inviting me to what is obviously clearly the most important show in the season. I appreciate
Clearly, clearly, yes.
that.
Well, thank you for joining. I think that this is a time of year where people are thinking about the end of the year and what they want to be in 2022, and the events industry in particular has been through so much in the last year and a half, and so now we have to think about what that means for businesses. I was talking to someone not too long ago, about a week ago, who was saying like we can't even plan 3 months in advance because everything just keeps changing. And so that's very frustrating, especially for planners. And so I'm just excited for us to be able to have this conversation today. I've read about your background, I've seen your YouTube channel and all of this stuff. And I think it's just a fun time to think about reinventing yourself and what this could look like, whether it's personally or professionally. But why don't we start by having you just kind of tell people a little bit about who you are, who is Dan Ram, what are you all about, and to whatever extent you want to share that, of course.
Absolutely. For first of all, thank you for having me. And second to the audience that are watching now or in the future, whenever you catch this, it is 2021. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and I still go by the name Dan Ram as of this showing. This has been quite a journey for everybody. I mean, so much adapting, so much learning. So where I'm at right now, I have the great blessing, and honestly, it is a blessing. It is a joy to be an MC. So that is what I do. I host tech conferences. And of course, as part of that, I do a decent amount of speaking as well. So I get called in quite a bit to do some keynote speaking. And I also do a decent amount of coaching where I get asked to elevate people's speaking skills, their storytelling skills, their body language, their stage presence, and a decent amount of consulting. Because ultimately, what are we talking about, right? We're talking about change management. We're talking about evolution. We're talking about content creation. We're talking about entrepreneurship. And these are hot, hot, hot topics. And so I end up being sort of a quasi-expert, given that I spend all my day interviewing and moderating panels on these topics. So that is the portfolio of what I do. But honestly, the bottom line in all of this, because these are just what I do. The why I do what I do is I love seeing people, as I call it, start now, start simple. I think the world is full of opportunity. And I think the only thing that is holding most of us back is ourselves. And so I love unlocking how people can start now and start simple. That's why I do what I do every single day.
So powerful. And I think that's really difficult for people. I remember years ago reading the book Lean Startup, which I have recommended to a billion people. And it's a very similar concept where it's, you know, I've so many times planned out a whole new business thing that I want to do and all the offerings and the pricing and everything. And then you put it out in the world and no one cares about it. And you're like, I just wasted 6 months of my life trying to figure this out. And it's great to start simple. What's an example of a time in your life when you've done that, where you wanted to do something and you had to just start now and start simple?
Oh, great question. So, one of my, I mean, everything, the answer is everything is that philosophy, right? There are no exceptions. And when I interview the likes of President Barack Obama, or when I'm interviewing, say, Nico Rosberg, a Formula One champion, or say the founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, Jessica Alba, actress. It doesn't matter who it is, even the people that we consider the greats of their fields, whether it's politics or sports or Hollywood, they all have a start now, start simple story. And I think we spend too much time fixated on the platform they're on without appreciating the process that took them there. And that's what I'm about. It's all about the process. So even for me, even though my accolades and accomplishments are a lot smaller in scale to these names I just mentioned, I feel the process is the same. So Here's one from my own life that I think is really relatable. So first, a little bit of showing off, because it's important to understand the context in which I found myself at the bottom of a pit, because I didn't start off life at the bottom of a pit. So I was always the smartest kid in class. I ended up going to Yale University to do an economics degree. I then got an MBA from Trinity College. I was the captain of the football, sorry, the badminton team and the tennis team. I really want to be a football player. I just didn't have the body for it. So Rapid Sports was where it's at. I had three U.S. presidents give me presidential certificates, which is a lot because I'm not American. Even though I talk like an American, I'm not American. I'm an Indian citizen that grew up in Zimbabwe and Morocco and these kind of countries. So to have three U.S. presidents notice me on another continent was a big deal. I had all of that, and therefore I was promised the world. I was told I could do anything. But life throws you curveballs, and life messes with you. And so when I graduated, having been told and reinforced over and over again, honestly, Dan, you could do anything, anything. The world's your oyster. There's more opportunities now than ever before. Yeah. When I graduated in the middle of a recession, 2010, and there were no jobs. In fact, on the little island of Ireland where I was living, unemployment was at record high rates. There were tens of thousands of people my age leaving every week. I mean, for such a tiny island of only 4 million people to have tens of thousands of the prime age group leaving for Australia, for Canada, for the US was such a brain drain on the country. And that was where I found myself. Now I was, I have faith and I prayed and I applied for jobs. Liz, I applied for jobs. I really wanted. And all I heard was no. I mean, I applied for jobs that would pay me less. I didn't care. They still heard no. I applied for jobs I didn't even want. And even those jobs said no. So I was so fed up of hearing no that I just decided whatever the next opportunity in whatever form it shows up, I was going to say yes. And that's the key to start now, start simple. It's actually not about opportunities or doors. It's actually about a mindset. You just say yes. And that's how it begins. Because what I'm about to tell you is very underwhelming, but where the story ends is very shocking, even for me to admit it, that that's how the story ends. But the next thing that happens is a phone call from a friend, because a lot of opportunities come disguised as very normal, and they come from something that's very nearby. And so it was just a friend saying, hey, I've got a couple kids who've been working on a business idea. Can you be a fake investor? Now, the question, why fake? Well, it's pretty obvious. Real investors have money and unemployed people have no money. So I had to fake it. And so I watched Shark Tank and I watched Dragon's Den, all these TV shows with real investors. And I was the most impressive fake investor that I could be when I showed up to those 12-year-old kids. And that evening I got a phone call from a dad and he goes, I don't know what you said. I don't even know who you are. But my little girl thinks that she can be an entrepreneur because of you. And so you must be some motivator. Could you come and motivate my staff? I run a PR agency and, you know, there's a recession going on, Dan, and they're all very demoralized. Can you come and inspire them? Now, note the irony here, Liz, because really I should have been disqualified from the role, because how on earth can an unemployed person motivate employed people? Like, that doesn't even make sense. I needed the motivation. They should motivate me. But again, don't discount yourself. Don't disqualify yourself and don't demean an opportunity. Say yes. And I did. I said yes. And then I figured out, I Googled, how do you motivate people who should really be motivated themselves? Like, what is wrong with them? And I practiced and I went in, I motivated the heck out of them. Nothing happened for a couple of weeks. And then the publishing side of the same agency contacted me and said, Dan, such a positive outlook on life. Could you write an article on the 5 future trends of Ireland? Me. This dude who was unemployed with no job for 18 months. My only qualification, fake investor and fake motivational speaker. And I said yes, and I gave it my best. I could have come up with so many excuses. You know, I don't have time to write. I should be applying for a job. Are you going to pay me first? You know, there's endless things that you could say. You just start with saying yes.
Yeah.
But nothing prepared me for the next thing, Liz, because when that article came out, a real investor from the real Shark Tank in Ireland contacted me and said, Dan, I've been appointed to be the chairman of a board. I'm allowed 7 advisors to the national government. If you don't know, we have a major recession going on and we need to reinvent ourselves. I need some fresh perspectives. Will you be one of the seven advisors? And so the next thing that happens is this guy ends up becoming one of the seven advisors. The work we do ends up becoming the National Policy Entrepreneurship, which to this day guides all the taxes, all the policies, all the support initiatives for entrepreneurs. And it's affected billions in GDP and millions of jobs. This is the power of Start Now, Start Simple. It starts off very ordinary, very simple, and often in a very tight place. But it can end in a beautiful place if you just got the mindset to say yes.
Such a powerful story. And as you're talking, I relate to a lot of it. You know, just that that idea that a lot of people have asked, you know, what's your best career advice for someone who's like in college or someone who's just starting out? Yeah. And what I've always said is, don't make the plan. Just see where life takes you. Because if I had to say now, like looking back, what I do now and the variety of things that I get to do and make money from and enjoy doing, I never would have said any of that. Like, I remember the first time someone asked me to public speak, and I was like, in my head, I was thinking, no, I don't even talk in front of groups of three people. I saw the little dollar sign next to the offer, and I was like, we're going to figure it out. It's that kind of like entrepreneur, you know, jump out of the plane, build your parachute on the way down. Yeah. But I've done that a lot of times. I can hear in your story that you've done that a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's through doing that, that these opportunities open up, and it's really about the yes, you know, you pointed that out, but also the dedication to do it well and to do the research. I mean, it's not just like go out and fake your way through life. I'm guessing that's not what you're saying, but you talked about like, I went and I looked this up, like how do people do this and what do they need to hear and how does that work? And I think that's a very powerful lesson for anyone who's watching today, just to think about saying yes to an opportunity, even if you would have otherwise disqualified yourself or otherwise felt like I don't have the time or whatever the case. What's your thought around one thing you mentioned was this idea of like, I didn't wait to see if I was getting paid first. You know, there's that whole like, pay me. I don't work for free. I'm building this business. I hear a lot of entrepreneurs talking about that. I've always been kind of like, let's see where this relationship goes. And, you know, obviously not working for months for free for nothing, but what do you think about that? Or is that your philosophy as well? Or?
Yeah, I think there are pros and cons to every perspective and outlook. So I can't say that there is an absolute right way to do life. Sure. But I will say that where you focus and where you put effort indicates your motivations and your motives. There are some people that are just wired for money, and that's okay. You know, I need those people on my team because they are the ones who drive sales. They're the ones who negotiate. And that's totally fine if you're wired for money. I will say I'm not that way. I'm very much in the relationship economy. I really value people. I don't have people on a CRM. You, Liz, are not on some HubSpot or Salesforce right now. I don't have a dollar sign on this conversation, and I couldn't care less for that. Sure. Because to me, I see my legacy, not the dollar sign in my bank account, but I see my legacy in the stories that people will say of me when I'm dead, because that's all we have. I was watching the Queen speak yesterday at the COP26. You know, she's 95 years old. She has seen multiple world wars, and her family have created much of the world that we see today. But even she, and she's on stamps, and she's on bills, and she's in statues, and she's all through that, the multiple castles and mansions that they and palaces that they have, even she will only be truly remembered by her kids and her grandkids, and maybe two generations. Third generation, they're not talking about her anymore. And she's the freaking queen, right?
Yeah.
So for me, honestly, that dollar sign, I'm not bringing it to the grave. And it's not an indicator of my success or my abilities. But the people around me and the impact that I create and the opportunities I create, that's the real legacy, do you know?
Yeah.
If I can unlock problems, if I can help people break through barriers, That's the legacy. And that will, so that's, so again, I'm not demeaning people who
Sure.
chase money. It's just not what drives me. That's it.
Yeah, no, I think it makes perfect sense.
And as a result, I'm very happy to do things for free. And as a result, I'm very happy to do things that I think are underpriced or undervaluing me, because what I care about is bringing the greatest value, regardless of how much money people are paying me, because I am so confident in what I can bring that I know I attract the money and I attract the opportunities. And that's not like ego. That's just me giving my best. I know if
Yeah.
I give my best, the best will come back. And even if the small door that is open does not feel right, I am not going to not be appreciative, because that might be the best that they got. So why should I, undervalue that? So
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
that's my philosophy. And I have to say, it's maybe it's easy for me to say because I'm kind of successful in what I do, but it's working. Maybe there are other people who are doing this and feel burnt, maybe,
Yeah.
and they maybe feel like it hasn't worked out. But honestly, for me, I am in places, I tell you straight up, I don't deserve to be. I bet you have tons of guests on the show that will tell you the 10-step program as to how they got there. And I'm telling you right up, I'm only here because of great people around me. They believe in me. They gave me the opportunities. They encourage me. They push me. I'm here on their shoulders. I am not a self-made millionaire. I'm not a self-made anything. I'm here because of people. And that's because I've invested in people. And that's why I'm here. You invest in dollars, maybe the dollars will get you somewhere. Maybe the dollars will open doors and dollars will
Sure.
get you into palaces. But that's not me. I'm here because people go like, yeah, Dan's my friend. You got to hang out with Obama someday. And I'm like, what, really? For real? Like, yep, I know both of you guys are cool people. You need to hang out. I'm
Yeah.
like, okay. Or, like, oh, I got this guy. He's got an island. His name is Richard Branson. And he's looking for someone like you, Dan. Can you go out there? I'm like, what, Richard Branson? Of course I'll go out there. But that's people. That's not me saying, oh, I'm a millionaire, Richard. Bring me onto your island. No, it's people. It's all
Yeah.
people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that abundance mindset, just kind of like giving your best and knowing that whether it comes from that particular opportunity or the next one, it's coming back in some way. And I think that's probably influenced a lot of you and I were talking right before we went live about your traveling all the time, and the last 18 months has been crazy for a lot of people. But it sounds like in your world, crazy in a good way. You're talking about, more revenue and more profit and more opportunities, more travel. What do you think some of those kind of like, what advice would you give to people who want to switch into that lane as compared to the lane they feel they've been stuck in for the last 18 months, which is less opportunity and less business coming in? Less that there are a lot of people who are kind of stuck in that world right now and saying, like, I see other people are doing something different and making it, and again, not just the money, but just the professional opportunities, the personal change. They're doing something that's making them a lot happier now than they were a year and a half ago. How do they shift into that lane?
Good. Great question. I really like it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well. Here are three things I've been telling people who desire and seek change in their life. Three things: retool, repurpose, reignite. Context for where I came up with this. I had past tense, a very successful career as a speaker, traveling the world. Speaking to big audiences, getting paid good dollar to do so. Then this thing called the pandemic kicked in. And here's the thing with a pandemic, it doesn't allow you to travel and it doesn't allow
Yeah.
big crowds of people. And so I went from having 80 bookings, right? And you do some simple math. If you're getting paid a couple tens of thousands per gig, that's a good chunk of money that you've got planned for the rest of the year. And went to zero, like all of them canceled. None of them postponed or, hey, we'll switch to virtual. They just straight up canceled because these
Yeah.
are big conventions and conferences. They happen in stadiums and arenas, and there's no way they can fill 30,000, 40,000 people in there. So I went from a career to having nothing. And I actually went back to my parents' place, as a 35-year-old adult. This is where you park ego to the side and where you park success. What's the point of living in pretense? I mean, I had enough money to keep living the lifestyle, but I'm not interested in the lifestyle. I'm interested in purpose and impact. And I knew I had to build up again. So what was I going to do? So I went back to parents' place. And first, I committed to myself. I exercised every day. I had a morning routine. I read my Bible. I prayed. I sought advice. I was humble. And I worked on me first because a pandemic has knocked all of us out. I mean, we're going to spend years in the future figuring out what happened to us during this time, right? Most of us are just in survival mode right now. And I decided I was going to work on that first. And so I committed to that. And then comes these three things. First, retool. I looked at what I had and I thought, okay, speaking is good. Fine. I can do that. But how do I create conversation if I'm not on a stage anymore? And then one of the people on my team said, well, you got the camera, Dan, like what we're doing right now, you can create conversation like this. I was like, I don't know how to do online and virtual. He's like, retool. See, you know your skill set speaking, but you have to retool. You got to find new tools to do what your purpose is. And you got to be humble and learn. And so I started with the camera on my laptop and the microphone on my laptop and just started creating conversation this way. And the first time I went on Facebook Live, I had 7 people watching. That's so demoralizing when you're so used to speaking to thousands of people, have 7 people watching. Didn't give up. Next day, did Instagram. And I had 14 people watching. I was like, okay, good. We're getting somewhere, but we're still not there yet. And then I thought, you know what? It's actually not about building back to what I used to do. It's I have to learn this new thing. I got to learn how to create conversation when you can't see an audience. Like right now, I can't see the people that are watching. I wish to, but I can't. And so how do you create the energy when you're sitting in a hotel room talking to an inanimate object? How do you do that? How do you tell stories in a way that people can watch online? So I committed to 40 days of retooling. And I learned how to do multiple cameras and how to do great microphones and how to use green screens. And I built a small team and a studio and all of that. And that's the first thing, retool. You got to be willing to do that. Second is repurpose. Because along that journey of retooling, I came across a music studio across the road. And the music studio had some space, but there weren't musicians creating albums because there was no concerts to run.
Yeah.
So I went to them and said, can we repurpose what you're doing? You've got the essential ingredients. You've got the tools, but you're following the wrong, outdated, irrelevant purpose. Can we repurpose you? And so with a few small tweaks, using the cameras that I had purchased and all, we turned this music studio into a world-class virtual studio. And here's the crazy part, Liz. I'm doing this from an elephant sanctuary in South India. We are nowhere close to civilization. We're in the middle of an elephant sanctuary, a retirement neighborhood, and just happened to find this music studio and put in the work. I mean, like I said, 40 days of back-to-back events, learning the tool, and then finding the resource and going, let's repurpose it. And then before I knew it, I was back to hosting events for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise all the way in the US, for Stellantis and Fiat Chrysler, for events in Singapore and Hong Kong and North Africa and Europe. And I was back to doing massive, big budget events from a music studio in an elephant sanctuary in South India.
Yeah.
That's what repurpose is. And the third is reignite. When you put in the work to create momentum, there is an excitement and energy that comes in. The longer you spend sitting in stalemate or stagnant, it will demoralize you. But if you just action something, you then reignite, because it wasn't just me feeling inspired when I got a phone call and they're like, can you hold? We saw this thing on YouTube, Dan, and we love your setup. No one else is doing it that way. We're like, oh yeah, I can help you out. It was the team around me. It was my parents around me. It was my neighborhood, because everyone else in the neighborhood is struggling too. And here I am at 2 o'clock in the morning with a time difference, getting in the car to get to the studio. And they think, you've got work? Like how are you doing work? And so they're all feeling inspired. They're all feeling excited. So my 3 steps to kind of adapting, evolving, changing is retool. Do an audit of what you're good at and figure out what you got to learn and be humble. It doesn't matter who you used to be before. It doesn't matter what your brand says. It doesn't even matter what other people think of what you do. Be humble and learn. Retool. Second, repurpose. With what you have, how else can you use it? Because hosting events virtually is not the same as speaking on a major stage. The purpose is the same, creating conversation, creating a better future. But the means, the methodologies are totally different. The people you work with are totally different. You have to be willing to repurpose in order to keep the initial goal the same. And finally, you got to reignite. You got to invest in being the best that you can be and actually feeling it, genuinely feeling it. It's why I think I've been thriving during the pandemic. Is not because I got lucky or because I've got some breaks here and there, or I milked some contacts. It's because I was willing to put in the work, and everyone can do that. Remember, music studio in an elephant sanctuary in South India, hosting events across the globe. Whatever you got is more than I had. You got a phone? That's great. You got a laptop? That's great. You got some education? That's great. You got two people that believe in you? Boom, you got it. You got everything you need. So retool, repurpose, reignite. Let's go.
That's awesome. And it's about that action. You know, I think trying something that feels very uncomfortable and failing and all those things that don't feel good when you're starting, you know, 40 days of that commitment, I guarantee you, I wasn't part of those 40 days, guarantee you, at least the first 20 were like, this sucks. I hate doing this.
Oh, yeah.
How is this? Where I'm breaking something, I'm messing something up. But now you have this entire new stream. You've learned a new skill. You've retooled, yeah. You've done all these things. Now, when in-person comes back, you can be double as successful as you were, if not more than that.
Yeah.
You've added this whole new ability to add. You know, I firmly believe, even though the pandemic has lasted so long, that a lot of the stuff we were doing will come back. Whether that's going to be, you know, some of it's coming back now, some of it will be a year from now or whatever. But all these virtual skills allow us to reach people in new ways. They allow us to do things that we couldn't have done before. And as we learn those skills, then when those come back, it's like, could it get any better? Like these, the best days are ahead of us. If you can commit to the action, it's not just going to happen.
Yeah, in person is actually back in Europe where I am and where I spend most of my time. So I actually host an event with 40,000 real people in a space, and also smaller ones with 600, 400, 200 people. So in person's back. And now I have these new tools, these new abilities. And also the future is changing. I felt so bad for people that kept saying, I can't wait for to go back to normal. And I was thinking, but the future is so bright. Like, why would you want to go back to a life that, let's be real, was not great? Let's look ahead to a future that could be anything. You can be anyone. So go for it. This is the chance. This is that, you know, oh, if only I was back to square one, or if only I didn't have the pressures of, or the expectation, you're there. So go for it. And that's why, like I was telling you before we started, thriving, like not just with the numbers, which is important, and the income and all of that, but with my team, like I'm hiring people. Most people were letting people go. I have increased my team significantly across different countries. With opportunities, with the clientele, like just the kind of people I'm working with. It's just because, you know, retool, repurpose, reignite. And where we started off this podcast is start now, start simple. You got to be willing to go for it. It doesn't matter where you are in your career. I mean, I've been working now for about 10 years. And like I said, I built a great brand on something that became irrelevant with the pandemic. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've been successful. You can always recreate and reinvent. It doesn't always work out, and that's okay. That's part of the process, right? It's always nice to say it when things are going well. But I would say the same thing even last year when all I had was my morning workout and doing puzzles and playing piano and having coffee breaks with my parents, far from the community and the world that I knew. I would have said the same thing because you said this, Liz, abundance mindset. I believe the future is bright, and I'm going to work towards it. And I believe that for everybody. I don't think that we have a limited resource and I got it. So now you don't. Nuh-uh. We all can get it. So there's a reason that people are probably watching this right now. And if that reason is a little kick up your butt or a little bit of inspiration to just go for it, here's that call. Go for it. Liz and I both say it. Go for it.
Go for it. No better way to end this. This is exactly what I knew our conversation would be very excited about, just sharing this message with people and sharing the real stories, right? Like it's one thing to be like, you should go do it. But to hear people who are saying like, this is what I did. And it has proven to be so much better than if I had done that. So thank you for sharing that. If people want to learn more about you, where should they go?
There's only one condition. You're welcome, Tracy. You're welcome for the kick in the butt. There's only one condition for engaging with me online. Actually talk to me. I do not use social media to sell things, and I don't use social media to advertise things. I use social media to create conversation. I share about my morning routines. I share about my behind the scenes of how I prepare for my speaking and hosting. I give opportunities for people to get involved, to show up at events, to ask questions to these big speakers. So Join me online if you actually want to have a conversation, a dialogue. I am Dan Ram. That's what you look up. I am. So at I am Dan Ram. Dan Ram is what you see right over here. That's short from my name, Daniel Ram. I'm worth you. Or just look up Dan Ram. You see tons of stuff on the website. I'm most active on Instagram with my stories, and I create content daily on LinkedIn. So those are the two that I recommend. My YouTube's kind of an afterthought, to be honest. So yeah. Instagram is where you see the daily grind. You'll see where I am. So if I'm in your city, again, I actually want to meet you. If you spot me in an airport, come talk to me. I have nothing more important than to help people start now, start simple. So you are the most important thing. So do not be surprised if you get a voice note back. I think whenever people message me and go, oh, I'm so inspired. Thank you for that message or that video. Oh, that opened my mind. Or I love that tool or that hack that you shared. And I leave a voice note going, great, tell me how you're going to use that. And I'll hold you accountable. I'll check in with you on Friday. And they're like, is that actually you? Is that like I'm like, no, this is actually me. Like, what did you think? You write on my page and I'm just going to pretend like you did not actually interact with me? Like, I wouldn't do that in real life. So why would I do that online? Yeah. That's the condition. If you want to talk and if you want me to be a part of your life, get involved.
Totally fair. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was a great conversation. I know it was a kick in the butt for Tracy, for myself, for lots of people watching now and in the future. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Liz, for organizing this podcast and for inviting me. Thank you for sharing your time and asking these great questions.
Of course. So we are going to be taking a break. We'll start with the podcast again in the new year. We have baby number two coming, so we're chilling it out for the rest of the year. But thank you for joining, and check out the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, all those wonderful places. And we'll see you on the next episode, everyone. Thank you so much. Bye.